Now we move into the 16th chapter of Ezekiel. In this chapter, God is still justifying himself in the desolations he's about to bring upon Jerusalem. And in this chapter, he shows the prophet and he orders him to show the people that he only punished them as their sin deserved. In the previous little chapter, he'd compared them to the vine, and he showed how that he was going to destroy them simply because they were an unfruitful vine. It was not fit for anything but the fire. But in this chapter, he's going to compare them to an adulteress and show how that this adulteress should be abandoned and exposed for her sins. He begins in the first verse by saying, "Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations." We find that although Ezekiel was in captivity at this time, that much of his prophesying was directed to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, just as Jeremiah, who was living in Jerusalem at this time, had much of his prophesying directed to the captives. And it's not because they were conflicting with each other or treading upon one another's territory, but it was simply because each had a message that would benefit the people that lived in the opposite place from them. Much of Ezekiel's message was for Jerusalem, much of Jeremiah's message was for the captives in Babylon. And so he says, "Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem." This is a message now for Jerusalem. Ezekiel is intended to get a thought across to the people of Jerusalem. And he says, "Cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. Cause Jerusalem to know her abominations." Now, this is an important work, to cause somebody to know what their sins are, to know what their displeasure to God really is. You know, we're certainly very, very ignorant if we're detestable to God, if we're doing things that God certainly cannot tolerate at all, and yet we don't even know it. We think we're okay when we're not. And he talks about abominations. Now, sins are provocations which God becomes angry at, but when they're described as abominations, these are things which he hates. These are things which are contrary to his nature. And they're things which we ought to also hate. It seems that when God describes something as an abomination, that he has a special hatred and disfavor for. And so the sins of Jerusalem are, in a very special manner, this type of sin. This practice of profaning the worship. This practice of putting another god in the place of the true and living God. This practice of turning to idolatry, allowing the traditions of men to intercede for the true will of God. This practice is very disagreeable to God. It is something that God detests, and he describes as an abomination. And this is the kind of a sin Jerusalem had. Jerusalem had turned to idolatry. Jerusalem had turned from the true and living God in many ways. Oh, they held on to the forms of the religion of God. They still had the temple, the priesthood, all the sacrifices. They carried all those things out, but they mixed them with the idolatrous notions and ideas. They mixed them with the images. They mixed them with the superstitions and fears of the gods round about them. And this is a sin that we can so easily fall into today ourselves. This is a sin that we are in most danger today of being guilty of, because we find that the people all around about us, those that profess to be Christians, those that are members of the denominations that have sprung off from the great apostate church, they're holding on to the relics. They're holding on to the traditions of men. They have all of these ideas that come from idolatry and do not come from the Bible, cannot be found to be in the Bible. Such things as the keeping of the idea of Nimrod, even today in the practice of the Easter bunny and the Easter egg as being a symbol of something being prolific and able to reproduce its own kind. How they get that into the worship of God, how they get that into the church, how they get that into their teaching and their practice, only has to come from idolatry. It does not come from the Bible. It's just one little example. There are many, many other examples. So let us not get into this kind of a sin that Jerusalem was in. It's an abomination. Now we want to notice another thing here, that though Jerusalem was a place of great knowledge, yet she didn't want to know her abominations. And that's true of all men. Men are so partial in their own favor. They're so blinded by the fact that they don't want to see anything bad in their lives, anything bad that they're doing, that they're hardly made to see their own badness. It's easy to deny our badness. It's easy to palliate it. It's easy to explain it away. It's easy to give justification for it. But we don't want to see it. And we can be ever so knowledgeable. We can be ever so well educated. We can have such a high IQ, have such a sharp, quick, witty mind. But when it comes to our faults, we don't want to see our faults. It's hard for us to see our faults. We may go a lifetime and never see our faults. But the purpose of the prophet, the purpose of the Word of God, is to cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. Now that's one of the things that the Word of God does. It causes you to know something. You don't want to know it, but it'll cause you to know it. You need to know it. And we want to stress that we do need to know our sins. If we don't know what our sins are, then we're not going to be able to confess them. We're not going to be able to appear to God and beg Him for forgiveness of them. We're not going to be able to repent of them. We're going to stay in these sins for the rest of our lives if we don't know what they are. We need to know what the sins are so we can make some corrections, so we can make some changes. And you show me a person or a group of people who never discover any sins in their lives, who never find anything wrong, who never have to make any changes. They just stay like they were 20 years ago, and everything is just going along without any changes, without any knowledge of anything new, anything that they had never known about before. And I'm going to show you some people that still have sins that they need to become aware of and need to start making some changes. There's some repentance that needs to be done. None of us are born knowing all the right things. We learn this as we go along, and as we learn, and as we grow, and as we become more mature, then we find that there are sins that we have to get rid of. There are changes that we have to make. So we must know what our sins are. And that is the purpose of the Bible. It's the purpose of these prophets like Ezekiel to cause us to know what our sins are. And he tells Ezekiel here, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. Jerusalem needs to know this. We need to know today. So let us not be so blind. Let us not be so conceited that we have sins and we're not willing to find out what they are. We're not willing to have somebody to point it out to us. We're not willing to have the Bible to point it out to us. We just will not admit they were ever wrong. Nobody's in that favored position. Nobody can ever say, I have no need to correct myself. I have no need to improve myself. I have nothing wrong in my life. I have no changes to be made. Nobody can say that. So let's know what our sins are. Let's become aware of what they are. Let's find out what God doesn't like and what God does like. And we read about these idolatrous things being so displeasing to God. And we see today where people all around about us are practicing these very things that God did not approve of, practicing things that are not described in His Word anyplace, then let us know that these things are sin. Let's turn from them, and let's not allow them to taint us, to be a part of us, to influence us. Let us not bring them into the solemn worship and practice of the church. We'd also like to note that it is one of the works of the servants of God to be able to see what sin is and to cause men to know what sin is. Now, sometimes this is not a very pleasant work. Sometimes it is very displeasing to others to have their sins pointed out, to name something that's wrong and say, this is wrong. If you're guilty of it, you're guilty of something that's wrong. People don't like to hear that. They don't want to hear that. But that's one of the jobs. It's one of the works that we as ministers of God, we as servants of God, have to do. We have to call sin, sin. When it's there, we have to describe it, we have to point it out, we have to warn people, we have to say, yes, this is sin, this is wrong, you must stop, you must repent. And so we see then the position that Ezekiel was in. Ezekiel had to call sin, sin. He couldn't gloss it over, let it go by, and that's what we're going to find then as we go on in this chapter. He's given the charge to cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. Well, we're going to close at that point. Till next time, this is NC Crouch saying goodbye, friends.